80% of people who murder journalists go unpunished. Reporters like Al Jazeera's Shireen Abu Akleh are targeted simply for doing their jobs. What should be done to combat impunity and ensure journalists are safe? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Fuliba Thibault. The killers of media workers are getting away with murder. That's the warning on the UN's International Day to End Impunity for Crimes Against Journalists. The Committee to Protect Journalists found nearly 80% of killings in the past decade have gone unpunished. 58 deaths have been recorded so far this year, including that of veteran Al Jazeera correspondent Shireen Abu Akleh. An Israeli soldier shot the Palestinian-American in the head as she covered an army raid in the occupied West Bank. Israel's military said there was a high probability a soldier killed her, but won't press charges. Shireen's family and Al Jazeera have filed a complaint with the International Criminal Court. They continue to demand a thorough and independent investigation.
It's important that policymakers and legislators and
decision makers
Have the political will to implement mechanisms, to implement policies that ensure that journalists are being protected. And if a crime is committed, there is accountability. There needs to be an end to this impunity because journalists are not just numbers. They are human beings who are doing their duty.
Well, the CPJ's 2022 Global Impunity Index names Somalia, Syria, South Sudan, Afghanistan and Iraq as the most dangerous countries for journalists. Mexico is number six on the list. It recorded the killings of at least 13 journalists in the first 9 months, its highest in a single year. Myanmar made its first appearance on the index. The deaths of photojournalist Ai Kwai and reporter Pyutu Dim are blamed on military atrocities. Brazil ranks ninth in June. British journalist Dom Phillips and indigenous issues expert Bruno Pereira were shot dead while reporting on environmental matters in the Amazon. Pakistan and India were ranked 10th and 11th. Just last week, Pakistani investigative journalist Arshad Sharif was shot dead by police in Kenya. Well, let's now bring in our guest for today's Inside Story. In Haifa is Sahsan Zahir, a human rights lawyer who has represented Palestinian cases before the Israeli Supreme Court. In New York, Jody Ginsberg, president of the Committee to Protect Journalists. And in Oslo, Ai Chang Nang, editor of the Democratic Voice of Burma. He was given the Committee to Protect Journalists Award for Asia. A warm welcome to you all. Thank you very much for joining us. Sahsan, in Haifa, let me start with you if I can. Shireen Abu Akleh's death was the most high profile in a long list of Palestinian journalists killed by the Israeli military. Before I ask you about her specific case, can you tell us first whether her killing and the international attention that it's drawn has in any way changed the way Palestinian journalists are treated?
Good evening to you and everyone. Well, I think that the case of Shireen Abu Akleh, with all the sorrow, of course, is not the only case of journalists that have been killed and assassinated as Palestinian journalists by the Israeli army. We have been viewing a lot of these cases, unfortunately, of hundreds of Palestinian journalists being wounded from 2006 until 2022. The UN has reported more than 22 killings of Palestinian journalists by the Israeli army. In 2022, we have also another a journalist other than Shireen Abu Akleh. We can also give the example of bombing the Al Jazeera tower in Gaza by the Israeli army in May 2021. And also just recently, actually, for today's International Day, the Committee for Defending Palestinian Journalists had issued that only in 2022, there were 637 Palestinian journalists that that were injured in one way or another by the Israeli army in the West Bank and in Gaza. Now, the issue is that the case of Shireen Abu Akleh is unique on one hand. It's unique because it was documented on the spot. Bethlehem, we know, had also contrasted the army's narrative about the location of the killing already from the first hour after the killing. There were witnesses from the event itself of other Al Jazeera journalists that were also injured together with late Shireen Abu Akleh.
Indeed.
So the evidence, the documentations and the videos make it a unique case. But unfortunately, the protection of Palestinian journalists have not been provided at all. And we see that, like Palestinian civilians, they are also being attacked in cold blood by the Israeli army without being punished.
There is no accountability. There hasn't been justice for many of these Palestinian journalists who've been killed, as you say.
None, basically.
Salsa, in the case of Shireen Abu Akleh, her family and Al Jazeera are calling on the International Criminal Court to investigate Shireen's killing. Do you think that can guarantee accountability?
Well, I think and also, by the way, the Palestinian prosecutor had submitted another communication to the ICC on this case. But I also think that the only way in order to open a thorough, independent and international investigation is indeed by opening it by the ICC, because there will be no other transparent investigation that will be opened. And of course, the fact of the mere submission of the communication to the ICC by Al Jazeera and Shireen Abu Akleh's family is a political act. It's a political statement that basically we, Al Jazeera, Shireen, all Palestinians basically, will not be silent until justice will be done. And this is a huge political statement, given the fact that in Shireen's case, there is tremendous witnesses that have been also investigated and examined by the UN Human Rights Office, by the Washington Post, by the AP, and by other by other institutions, and therefore calling for this investigation, which will lead, if it will be opened, of course, because it's all conditioned and provided that Karim Khan,
on
who
the
is prosecutor,
the prosecutor
of the ICC, will indeed decide to open such an investigation, which we hope that eventually he will.
Let me bring Jody into the conversation. Jody, what do you make of this Palestinian strategy to use the ICC against Israel? Is that an effective strategy? Can it help protect Palestinian journalists in the future?
I think bringing in international investigative bodies is really important, because what we see in many of these cases, and the reason we still have this persistently high level of impunity globally, is because all too often the very authorities who will be responsible for the investigations are also in some way implicated in the killing itself. And so it's very difficult to assure that there's going to be independent. So having some kind of international independent investigation into these cases is really important.
But even in this, in a case like this, I mean, where Shireen Abu Akleh is concerned, I mean, it's treated differently because of where it happened, isn't it, Jody?
Yes, that's true. And we do not see the kinds of international pressure on countries like Israel that we might see in other areas. Nevertheless, we continue to call for both an ICC investigation, but also for a US-led investigation, because, of course, Shireen was a dual citizen. She was a US citizen as well as a Palestinian one. And therefore, the US has an obligation, we believe, to investigate this case as well.
But can the US, as Israel's strongest ally, conduct a credible, independent investigation into this case, even if Shireen Abu Akleh was an American citizen, when you consider the political...
I think the US can conduct a credible investigation. What we need for them to do is be willing to conduct that investigation. And that's where the pressure has got to be for them to carry out such an investigation.
All right, let's broaden this out a bit now and bring in Ai Chang in Oslo. Ai, For the first time, Myanmar has appeared on the CPJ's Impunity Index. Tell us what it's like for journalists in your country working under military rule.
Today, I mean, like, since after the military coup on the 1st February last year, the work of journalists became very, very dangerous and risky. And it's in the CPJ report, number of journalists have been killed. The one that you mentioned in your introduction, on the 10th December last year, a freelance photojournalist was killed in prison after he was arrested, 2 or 3 days after he was arrested. And basically what he was doing was filming on the street, basically empty street, because at the day the opposition in Burma called for a silent strike, meaning nobody go out on the streets. So he went out on the streets and took a picture of empty streets, and he was arrested and taken by the police. And 2 days later, the police called his family, come and collect your son's body. They torture him to death. That kind of thing's happening throughout the countries. And today, over 60 journalists are still being detained in prison. Mm-hmm. And 30 of them have been sentenced to imprisonment, including two of our journalists who have been sentenced from 3 years to 6 years imprisonment.
What is nowadays, the worst personal attack, Ai Chang? What is the worst personal attack you have faced? You're now in Oslo, but you were in Myanmar in the past. What was it like for you?
For example, like if I'm in Burma today, I would straight go into prison. There is no way for an independent journalist to be able to walk in the country and at the same time without any kind of a danger of being in prison or even tortured to death. We still have people on the ground. My colleagues still inside the country, but we have to be totally an official undercover. And if the minute that they are exposed, they would go to prison straight away.
Mm. Jody, in New York, the struggle between governments that want to suppress criticism and the voices pushing back is not new. But the tools and tactics, it seems, of repression have evolved. Why is it dangerous, even more dangerous today, to be a journalist than in previous decades, do you think?
It's even more dangerous to be a journalist now because, as you say, we have so many more tools with which to suppress and surveil journalists. We've seen an explosion in the use of spyware. We've seen an explosion in the use of online harassment to discredit, demean journalists. Journalists' addresses being published on the internet, which then puts them in physical danger. So there's all of that, coupled with a great precarity for the profession, where we've seen increasingly even political leaders in supposed democracies smearing journalists as enemies of the people, fake news. And that creates an environment in which journalists are extremely vulnerable. So we're also seeing them highly vulnerable, for example, at protests or at political rallies where ordinary people feel empowered to physically intimidate and even attack journalists. Mm.
Salsin, tell us about your experience working with Palestinian journalists and what actions do you think can be taken today to make them more safe?
I think that, first of all, having this day as an international day to acknowledge the lack of impunity when it gets to attacking or injuring journalists is important in and of itself. Not also to forget that in March 2015, the UN has also adopted a resolution, number 2222, which basically sets some criteria to the special protection that should be provided to journalists all over the world, especially journalists in conflict areas and a war. Mm-hmm. But if I come and address the situation of journalists of Palestinian journalists in Israel and Palestine, I think that there is a systematic attempt of attacking journalists protest and trying to silence them, either by attacking them, injuring or even killing them, or by not even letting them do their job. And in many of these cases, especially where it gets to a physical attack and assassination, there has been several demands to open a criminal investigation against the army inside the Israeli legal system. This is part of what can be done in order to get criminal accountability. However, even the legal system in Israel doesn't really provide a lot of help, because even most of these cases are being closed.
Right.
Either they argue that there's no witnesses or that there's no liability. And even when a lawyer wants or a human rights organization approaches and appeals the Israeli Supreme Court, also the Supreme Court gives a backup to the closure of investigation by not intervening or interfering in the decision to close the investigation. So on a local level...
So are there no recourses then for Palestinian journalists?
Excuse me?
Are there no recourses, even if, as you say, even the legal system doesn't treat these cases in a fair way? What recourses then are there for Palestinian journalists?
Yeah. This is basically why it's important to approach the ICC. In the case of Shireen Abu Aqli, we know that the family, and rightfully, they refused to demand an opening of an Israeli investigation in the case of her killing, because the results of such an investigation were very clear. And rightfully, they didn't ask that and went directly to the ICC. So when we are able to show that the Israeli Supreme Court will not interfere, that the army in all the cases closes the investigation and doesn't provide any impunity for any of the events of the killing or the injury in these cases, it's basically an evidence to show before the ICC that Israel is not willing to do anything in order to bring the perpetrators to justice. And this is a very strong basis and argument when it gets to the ICC. The exhausting of legal remedies in the local courts in Israel, which shows basically that there is lack of political will to investigate and to provide
Jody, is lack of political will the only reason, you would say, for impunity?
It's not the only reason. It's one of the key reasons. A lack of resource and capacity. So it requires trained investigators, a robust judiciary, for example. That those are some of the reasons. I think increasingly also we're seeing lack of international pressure and consequences. It's incumbent upon all those countries that believe in a free press, in the importance of freedom of expression, to speak out publicly and take action when they see other countries failing to take responsibility for the killings of journalists. And increasingly, we see governments failing to take up that responsibility.
And it's not just government in so-called undemocratic countries anymore, as you pointed out before. It's also happening in Western democracies. Is there a model today, a country that could serve as a model, if you will, to achieve justice for journalists, where it's proven that, you know, they care about journalists' rights and press freedom? Is there a model today that other countries can follow?
There's no individual model, I would say. I think the key thing for the international community is that those countries, as I say, who've made explicit their commitments to media freedom, speak out publicly when they see press freedom being limited in other places, but also take action when they see that too. And that, I think, can be the model to put pressure on those countries where we are seeing persistent high levels of impunity.
IA in Oslo, the majority of media people killed over the past decade were working outside of armed conflict. So it's not just happening during war. How do we address the everyday safety challenges that journalists face, including, you know, relatively new forms of aggression like the ones on social media, as we discussed before?
I think in case of Burma, I mean, the biggest problem it's the police and the military that are acting against the journalists. It's basically following the order by the military leadership. So they have an impunity already there. And for the journalists, and there is no protection from any side. I mean, the judges' judicial resistance is still pretty much controlled by the military. And the lawyer even being threatened with arrest if they're trying to represent the journalists who are in prison. And the whole issue is since after the coup, now it's almost nearly 2 years, over 2,000 people have been killed, including the journalists and ordinary civilians. And about 1,500,000 people have been imprisoned. And lots of villages have been burned down. Almost 20,000 homes have been burned down. There are gross human rights violations. Mm-hmm. And for the military, that's the main reason that they are targeting the journalists, because they don't want to expose any of these human rights violations by their soldiers, by themselves. And as Jody mentioned, I think the pressure from the international community is really important.
Do you feel that there's been enough pressure from the international community on Myanmar's military?
Not at all. I think there is only very limited sanction against the military regime. And I think our neighboring country, especially the member of the ASEAN country, need to act a lot more than what they are doing right now. We need a lot more pressure from UN Security Council, United Nations, the real concrete, tangible international sanction needed. And on top of that, there are about 1.5 million people internally displaced persons. And there is a current serious crisis with the humanitarian assistance. And the military is blocking the international NGOs, NGOs to come in to assist. And that needs to be taken care of very urgently.
All right. Sal San in Haifa. Shireen Abu Akleh's case has international exposure, of course, and the backing of a powerful media network like Al Jazeera to go to the ICC. But what about killed journalists with lower profiles? How do we pursue justice for them?
Well, yes, that's a huge issue because, and what makes, as I mentioned before, what makes Shireen's the case unique and strong, not just on a political level or media level, but also on a legal level, is the fact that there were evidence from the ground at the time of the killing itself, documentation, witnesses, and so on, which basically lack in a lot of the other cases. And then we as a human rights lawyer are finding ourselves in a difficult situation because in many of the cases the evidence are on the hands of the Israeli army, which doesn't especially when we're talking about bullets as a primary evidence in these cases, which doesn't provide the evidence to the Palestinian side or to the lawyer side. So there is a huge problem with it, but therefore I think that it will resemble a lot of the justice that would be done in other cases of journalists being killed by the Israeli army.
Jody, I'll give you the last word in New York, whether it's in Palestine or Myanmar. How do we combat impunity?
We start by recognizing that, as Salsun said, journalists are people. The reason they are targeted is for the stories they're producing, and those stories are vital to all of us. They're vital for our ability to live freely in just societies, and recognizing that is the first step to making sure that these journalists have justice.
Thank you all very much for a very interesting conversation. Thank you, Salsun Zahir, Ai Chang Nai, and Jody Ginsberg. Thank you for joining us on this edition of Inside Story. And thank you, too, for watching. You can always watch this program again anytime by visiting our website at aljazeera.com. For further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. And, of course, you can join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is at AJInsideStory. From me, Fuli Batibwa, and the whole team here in Doha, thanks for watching. Bye for now.